It's good to be here at Mount Carroll today. I am in Mount Carroll, right? Okay. Just to make sure, I do a fair amount of traveling. I live down in Decatur, Illinois. I sometimes see when artists go to some place and they say that they're at the wrong place, right? I don't know if you've ever witnessed that or experienced that or seen that happen, that they forget where they woke up. But certainly glad to be here. My name is Travis. You are welcome to call me Vince today, if that makes it easier. I know his family certainly in my prayers as they deal with loss on Deanne's side of the family. Let me just pray for a moment with us. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love us. And Lord, I thank you that there is a place that we can come and that we can gather. Lord, a place that we can come and encourage one another. Lord, hopefully a place that we can come and be challenged to hear you speak deep into our own heart, into our own soul. Lord, just help us to, the distractions of the day, to be able to set those aside, knowing that you will remind us of those later. And that we can just have time to listen to you speak into our heart with your still small voice. Lord, we just thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a little bit about myself. I come from Decatur. I have a little hobby farm that we get to enjoy. I know as I'm coming through some of the rolling prairie on the way up, it's a beautiful place. You all have snow that we have let go of. You guys hold on to it longer here. It felt a little chillier just as I pulled into town, but certainly still glad to be here and be with all of you. I attended a virtual conference about the future of the church about a week ago, and one of the things that they shared with us, or a question that they asked us to ponder, and I want to share this with you so you can kind of have this in the back of your mind as I'm teaching or as I'm sharing today of something that's resonating deep within my soul. And they said this: if all we do is what we do now, who will never be reached with the power of the resurrected Jesus? If all we do is what we do now, who will never be reached with the power of the resurrected Jesus? I'm going to share a little bit, probably differently than maybe many that would preach or speak, and I want to give you a word from the Lord, but I want to share a little bit about what God has been up to in my life in the last, 10 years or so, what he's been up to in my neighborhood, where I have had opportunities to see God working in the midst of people that sometimes maybe I didn't know that he worked amongst. So we moved about 10 years to the place that we are now, and it was a new community for us. I don't know if you guys have ever moved from where you live to some place new, but sometimes it takes a little bit of an adjustment. I grew up in Assumption, Illinois from age 1 to 18, so it's one of those, like, I knew everybody, they all knew me. I'd never had that experience of going to this new, small community. So we show up, and we move into town, or we move out into kind of the edge of town, into the country, and what I found was there wasn't much of a way to get to meet people. Matter of fact, we were there for almost a month before any neighbors stopped to say hello. I don't know if people are too busy. I don't know if they didn't know that we moved. The house had sat vacant about 4 months before we moved into it. So I'm guessing all of a sudden when a playset showed up and there were kids outside, I'd think that they recognized. I don't know if there was something about us that was off-putting, but I know that nobody stopped for a month to say hello. Now, I realize as I've tried to get to know my own neighbors, I've had some challenges. One, as I watched, and some of you might be similar to this, when people come home from work, they come into the house that they built for their car. You guys have those up here, right? car houses, okay? They pull into that. The door automatically goes up when they pull in. They drive in. They pull the door down. They go into their house. They eat their meal. They spend time with their family. They go to sleep. The next day they wake up. They go back into their car. They raise up their door. They come back out. They go to work. They come back. And you never see them outside of your house. Do you guys have some of those issues here? Does that happen here? Yeah? Okay. And I realize, you know, we have air conditioning now and we have heat inside, so people don't sit out on the front porch. Matter of fact, people don't even often have front porches anymore. They often have backyards with privacy fences, and usually if they privacy fence, that says don't just come on over, right? Is that what that means? Okay. So I want to know from you, you've been in your neighborhood for a while, and this is going to be a little bit of an interactive moment. What have been the challenges that you have faced connecting, getting to know, sharing life in your own neighborhood? What are some of the challenges that you all face up here? This means I've got something, okay? Go like that. You got something, okay. Just different circles of life, and my neighbors are not, in general, sometimes part of the circle that I'm in. Okay? Yep. Who else? Thank you for starting that. That was very good. Okay? Who else? Yes, great. You know, the nice part about tractors, they don't go real fast. Okay, great. Sure. So you live out in the country, people drive by on tractors, you have the chance to stop and say hello to some neighbors. Okay, great. Others, what are some challenges? Yep. I've met some people at church like that before. Yeah, antisocial, I don't want anything to do with it. But you're talking in your neighborhood that, okay, all right. And how do you know that they don't want anything to do with you? I mean, because they just don't say anything, or do they say, like, we don't want anything to do with you?
They say, see you coming, you say hi, they wait and walk away.
Okay, all right, kind of a fear of engaging, okay? Maybe it's antisocial, they might not like Johnny, I'm not always sure what it is, okay? But for some reason, okay, they kind of disengage, all right? Yeah. Yeah, so there's a little bit sometimes of a cultural difference is that if the people from the city move out into the country, they're afraid of country folks. Okay, and maybe they should be, much like country folks, if they move to the city, are a little bit scared of city folks, right? Maybe. You're not afraid of anything. I understand that. I'm catching that right now. This is great. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you live in the country, and maybe you guys have different sign language where I live, but, you know, when we're driving by, I mean, if you raise one finger when the person comes by, you're saying, hey. If it's two fingers, it's kind of like, how you doing? And if it's three fingers, it's like, why don't you come over for supper? Do you guys have that? You know, the hand signals on your steering wheel when the you guys do that up here, right? Something kind of similar. We just raise our finger. We wave it. I grew up in the country. I wave at everybody. Okay, my wife grew up in Dallas, and she wonders why I wave at everybody. And she frequently asks if I know them, right? Do you know them? They might know me. I'm just supposed to wave. It's what I grew up learning to do. Or I give my farmer hello, okay? All right, that's what you do when you're on the spinner wheel on the tractor. Did you have something? The lack of ambition and incentive to go do it, okay? Yeah, like why? Why would I go hang out or spend time with my neighbors. Sometimes I just don't have the ambition. I'm tired. I've worked hard. I like my air-conditioned house. Well, for me, I want to take you on this journey that God has been on this, I'm going to say, long arc of him doing something in my neighborhood and me kind of learning what it looks like and wishing it happened faster, but learning that it often happens slower than what I'd like. So the first person that stopped by, and I'm just, for the sake of anonymity, I'm going to call him W. And my friend W, he's not my friend yet. He just shows up at my house. And he gets out of his truck and he says, "Hey, neighbor, just wanted to meet you." And he introduces himself, and I introduce myself, and pretty quick they ask you, "What do you do?" Now, I don't know if you've ever had to feel the pressure that a pastor feels when people ask you, "What do?" Okay? But when you tell people you're a pastor or a preacher, sometimes you get that thing that your neighbors do where they just walk right back into the house. Right? Okay? So anyway, explain what I do, and probably like some of the first words out of his mouth were, "I just want to let you know that I don't need to be converted." Let me write that down. Okay? Good to know. That's the first start. Just because I've told him that I work at a church, that I'm a pastor at a church. And so I said, okay. And we kept talking. And at the end of the conversation, one of the most endearing things that I hear from him is, "If you have any troubles here in the neighborhood, you let me know and I'll take care of things for you." Now, I want to tell you, I live out in the country, okay? I mean, I'm kind of like out on the edge of the town. My neighborhood is like a mile and a half wiggly road, okay? And closest neighbor's a quarter mile down the road. I don't exactly know what kind of neighborhood I've moved into that I might have something that I need taken care of. I'm kind of appreciative that I've got somebody that has my back, okay, in case I need that, but it makes you a little anxious about the neighborhood that even somebody felt the need to say that. Now, I do have to admit, now that my daughter is 16 years old, I am glad that I have that neighbor. Because if I have any troubles, he's going to take care of things for me, right? But anyway, we get talking, he shares that, and we kind of depart. And over the coming years, we've had several interactions. Now, a little bit, and again, I want to be gracious as I share, but I just kind of want to paint the picture of what my neighbor looks like, because some of you guys might have some neighbors that look similar. Drives an older truck. I don't know if I've ever seen him driving without a beer can in his hand and a cigarette in the other. And that's usually how I see him coming through my neighborhood. He often has some language that he teaches me that I'm not always certain what it means. And when my kids are with me, sometimes I have some conversations we need to have afterwards just to explain what just happened. Okay, you guys following me? You guys along for the ride on what that kind of looks like? And in that, it was a slow to get to know you. It was the neighbor that probably, I think, I don't know that I'm supposed to invite him to church. I mean, I want to, but I don't know that the church is the next place for him to step with Jesus. Okay? That he's kind of like, if he comes in, the church people will be standoffish. Okay? They'll kind of, as you were saying, they'll kind of go the other way. You understand? And I mean, just, it was this uncomfortableness, but I've learned to really appreciate and love W. Because one day, as my kids and I are walking, and it's getting a little bit late, and the sun's kind of setting, and evidently we're a little hard to see walking in the road, okay, when the sun's starting to set. So he says, "I tell you what, you guys don't go far," which we're walking, we can't go far, I'm old and slow, okay, but he says, "Don't go far, I'll be right back." So he goes on home and he comes back with a couple bright colored vests, okay, like the ones with reflective tape and a couple bright shirts, and like, "I just want to make sure I keep you all safe." I was being a good neighbor, okay? I appreciate that. And I started the, maybe I need to just come by and check on him. So I'm that neighbor that just shows up at your house sometimes. I don't necessarily call ahead of time. I just knock on the door, and I figure if you're busy, you won't answer, okay? And we grow, we have a big garden, and I'll take vegetables, and I'll take eggs, or I'll take some things that we have just to go up and share. I'm trying to figure out. God has kind of said, Travis, I have put you in this new place so you can, one, learn what it feels like to be new somewhere where you didn't grow up, so you can learn what being a good neighbor kind of looks like, and I'm going to give you some experiences that are going to resonate with you. So I invite W several times to come by the house, or we're having a cookout, and I say, hey, why don't you come on over? And typically there's a reason that he can't. But all of a sudden, one week, I have a church cookout at my house. And there goes W, right past. I grab my phone. I think I see him right now. I'm going to call him. I called him up. I can see him stop a quarter mile up the road right when I called. He stopped. He answers. I say, hey, we're having a cookout. Why don't you come on up? He says, I tell you what, I'll give you 20 minutes. Give me 20 minutes to get cleaned up, and I'll be back. So W comes back in about 15 minutes, pulls his truck up right kind of near the fire where everybody was, gets out of the truck. You remember what he has in his hands, right, at my church cookout? Okay. Gets out of the truck, comes on out. I meet him. I'm excited to share some things with, introduce him to my neighbors. And he says, hey, can we go out back behind the barn and talk? I don't even know exactly what that means. I mean, I know that we're going to talk, okay? But we go out back behind the barn. And I have to admit, I heard some hurts and some concerns in his life, because we'd been stopping on the road to talk over the last couple years, and it was finally, some stuff was heavy on his heart. And he stops, and we go out behind the barn, and we're talking, and for about 2 hours, he unloads. Unloads not about me, just about life. Some of the hurts, hoping that somebody will listen. What I've learned from that is most everybody has a story, and they'd like to tell their story if they can find somebody that'll listen. He shares his story, and he shared it so long, by the time I get back, the party that I'd invited everybody to, it's over, okay? They've all done left. We say our cordial goodbyes, but before the end, I said, could I pray with you? And you know what he said? That'd be fine. That's a big surprise maybe for some. But he said, yeah, that'd be fine. So I prayed with him. I'm just praying about some of the things that he shared. Some time goes by, and we continue to interact. Pretty standoffish still as far as any spiritual conversations, but occasionally we dig in a little bit of that. My son and I go for a walk, and we say, hey, we're just going to see if anybody in the neighborhood happens to be out. If nobody's out, I'm going to stop by this one house of an older couple, and we're just going to go in and check on them, okay? And before I get to their house, guess who stops at the stop sign where I'm at the corner? My friend W. He's heading to a cookout somewhere, and he shuts the car off. He gets out of the car. He shares some things with me. I'm with my son. Remember what he's got in his hand and the other hand, okay? My son is along this journey with me, all right, as we're going. And he shares some heavy stuff, and I said at the end, I said, hey, do you mind if I pray with you? And for the first time, he asked me, now, what church do you go to? I didn't say anything about church. Remember, I have to admit, I've never invited him because I'm not sure if we're quite ready for that. He asked me, and I tell him, we talk a little about that. He kind of goes somewhere else, and I say, well, can I go ahead and pray with you now? He says, that'd be fine. So I prayed with him, prayed for him. And I got done, and these sweet words followed my prayer, because I said amen. And I heard for the first time my friend, who is becoming my friend, someone that I care much about, that I'm realizing that God has created him also in God's image. My friend W, starts to pray for the first time that I've ever heard. And I'm going to mellow it out a little bit, but I think you'll follow me. And this is the prayer that I hear. And dear Lord, please help Satan get his foot out of my, because he's got it up there deep. Okay? Now, I tell you that because theologically, he's right. He admitted several things right then, that one, there is a God. Two, that there's an adversary, an enemy, the devil. Three, that Satan seems to be causing him pain in places he'd rather not have pain. And number four, that God has the power to make him quit. Now, my son and I's prayer life has drastically changed since hearing this. Okay, we pray differently. We mix different words in there. I'm just kidding. We don't. We still. I share this to say, you know what? There's some people. He's recognizing God's doing something around him. He's not necessarily sure what yet, but something is happening. And over this long arc, because I'm telling you, when the neighbor stops by and says, hey, I don't need to be converted as a Christian, I kind of feel like my job's done, right? He said he didn't want to be converted. I guess I'll go hang out with another neighbor. What I'm realizing, God's doing something on a long period of time. Sometimes I dismiss people because I think that they're going to have no interest. They don't want to hear, okay? They drive the wrong color of tractor, whatever it might be. Okay, they vote for the wrong political party, whatever it is, that I dismiss people thinking they're not interested, and really God's doing a work slowly in them. So much so that a little while back, I invite the president of our theological seminary to stay at my house. Okay, I'm gonna make a connection here. So Dr. Sleesman is going to spend the night at my house on a Friday night. We've got a conference the next day. So he's coming. In midweek, my friend W sees me on the road. And my friend W says, hey, I'm going to have a party at my house this weekend on Friday night, and I'd like you to come. Now, I've been there for several years, and I've never been invited to one of his parties. I've invited him to mine, but I've never been invited to him. He says, you want to come? Absolutely I do. He says, but this probably isn't one that you want to bring your kids to. Understood? All right, well, I'll plan on being there, and what time am I supposed to come? And he tells me, and I say, all right, and the president of our theological seminary comes to our house and he spends the night, and I got to tell him, you're going to have to stay here because my neighbor invited him down to the party and you can't come with me. So I say that a little bit of funniness, but also some seriousness. I don't know what I'm getting into. And I go down there, and the one thing that W said that impressed me so much, he says, now don't tell him what you do. Well, I thought, that's no surprise. He probably doesn't want him to know. He says, now I'm going to wait till you're there 30 minutes, and then I want to tell him. So I sit down, and you know what? They've got this great fellowship that happens. They happen to have a cookout every Friday night, and they all come together, and they bring things to eat, and they bring things to drink, and they have an amount of game playing. Okay, that, you know, it's some dimes and nickels and, you know, just kind of something to have a conversation. And they do that every Friday evening, and he invites me to one of his cookouts. And what I realized is sometimes part of you says, I don't think I'm supposed to go there. And the other part of you says, that's exactly where Jesus would have spent his time, right? That's the internal wrestle that I'm having. So I go, and they're playing, and they invite me to sit down and play the game with them a little bit. Am I supposed to? You know what I'm saying? Like that wrestle, like, is that okay? But I go ahead and play with them for a little bit. I get up, and he goes, y'all know what he does, don't you? They said, no. He said, he's a preacher. I'm telling you, people were spitting stuff out of their mouth and hiding things behind their back, and we had a chuckle out of that. I get ready to go towards the house because they've got beans and cornbread that night. I get ready to go towards the house, and One of the ladies comes and follows me. She says, you really a preacher? I said, well, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I really like to talk to you sometime. I've got some stuff that's going on in my life that's pretty heavy. I said, would you like to talk now? And she's like, no, not right now. I said, well, hey, you can get my phone number from W, okay? You feel free to call me anytime. So I was there just a little bit longer, and it was time for me to go home. I get ready to walk outside, and W follows me out to my truck. He says this. He says, do you know why I invited you here tonight? I don't. Says, because the gal that you were just talking to there, she's got cancer for the second time, and it doesn't look like it's very good, and I don't know how to give her hope. Whew. That's heavy. That's heavy. Because there might be something about you. You seem to be connected to some kind of hope that I don't know if I'm interested in yet myself, but I know that she needs it. I said, appreciate that. And I've went back a few more times just to visit, to say hi, to check in, to build relationship with the community. I kind of got back actually excited and told my wife, I think maybe, dear, I could be the chaplain of the poker party. I mean, like, that could maybe be my role in the neighborhood, that they might need one of those. I had another interesting conversation the last couple months. I went by, and we were having some more conversation, and he said, he mentioned his girlfriend's name. He said, we've been watching Preacher on TV on Sunday mornings. That really surprised me. You watch a preacher on Sunday mornings? Yeah, and he tells me that blonde, kind of funny guy, and we had to work through the name. There's kind of a local preacher that's on a TV show. I said, oh, I know who that guy is. And he goes, and I don't, this isn't throwing stones at one or the other. I want you to hear the greater picture of what I'm going to tell you. He says, yeah, we used to watch that other guy on TV. He said, he's like down in Texas somewhere. He's got that big stadium, a whole lot of people. He says, we used to watch him. Matter of fact, we watched him about every week until the hurricane happened a few years back. They needed a place for all them people to stay, and they wouldn't let their church be used to let people stay there. He says, if there's a problem in the community and the church doesn't want to help out, I don't want anything to do with that kind of church. Ooh, church, listen up. People are watching you. They are watching what you do when there is pain going on in your neighborhood. And if you don't offer to help and to serve, they are going to make a statement about you that is loud and clear. You guys are just interested in your own stuff. You're not really interested in the things that are broader than you. You guys hear that? I mean, that's heavy from him processing. A week and a half ago, I got to do a funeral. I was asked to do a funeral for the neighbor between me and W. He's known them a whole lot longer than I have. Matter of fact, I got told that the day after that it happened, they asked, and I went down to his house to go spend some time with him and to let him know that his neighbor had passed away. While I'm sitting there, I'm there. We small talked a little bit. I'm about ready to tell him, and he gets a phone call from somebody else kind of telling him the news beforehand. And then the widow lady calls him also. And I watch him almost tear up. He says, I just really hate to hear her hurt. So this past week, we decided to go ahead and invite on Tuesday night. We had the widow lady that just lost her husband come over, and we had W and his girlfriend come over for supper all at the same time. Sat around, watched our new widow friend laugh with some much needed laughs as we all joked together. I tell you this because Travis isn't doing it right. Travis is learning. I'm figuring this out. But the verse that kind of has stumbled upon me, that has been really challenging for me, has been a passage of scripture that you all will have potentially heard before. And I'm going to read it to you. It's out of Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40. And just listen if you would. Hearing that, Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So we hear, love God with everything in you. And the second one's just like it. Love your neighbor. I'm also going to read out of Deuteronomy 6. This is something called the Shema. It's kind of Israel's battle cry. They had just gotten the Ten Commandments. And they come down and God wants to speak to the Israelites. He says, listen, people of Israel. The Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Always, always remember these commands I give you today. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them down and tie them to your hands as a sign. Tie them on your forehead to remind you and write them on your doors and gates. Now, this is the segue that I'm going to make here is we see Israel all the way back there that they say the big command, you know, love God. Remember these commands. Teach them to your kids. Make them part of everything that you do when you get up, when you lay down, when you're going, when you're coming, when you go to Menards, when you go to Farm and Fleet, when you go to Walmart, when you sit at a meal, when you interact with the neighbors, when you go to work, whatever it is that you're doing. Make my conversation, the relationship that I have with Israel, the commands, what I give you, make that part of your life. And I want you to do it with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus says, that's the greatest. Now, I'm coming back. If I want to see something that looks just like me, what do I look at? A mirror, right? If I want to see something that looks just like me, I look at a mirror. So this is what I hear. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's just like the first one. Give it all you've got. Put all of it that you have into it. You see, what I'm coming to understand is that my love for my neighbor is a direct reflection of my love for God. Hear that. Your love for your neighbor is a direct reflection. It shows, it proves, it mirrors what your love is for God. Because if I love my God, I'm going to love his kids. I'm going to love the people that he created in his image. John 1:14 says, so the word became human, and he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. I've had to really process this. You know that Jesus guy? He didn't just commute to earth and then go sleep in heaven and then commute to earth. He came and lived amongst us. When the tax collectors were having a party, guess what Jesus did? What did he do? You don't have to guess. It says it. He went with them. He was involved in the life of the people that he came to live amongst. I'm going to even challenge some of you. If you don't think the neighborhood you're in is the right neighborhood, you got to move. Because if God puts you there, he expects you to live amongst them. They're your people. You don't get to commute to where you want to hang out. You live amongst the people that you've been called to because Jesus set that example. He came and lived amongst them. And that is who he engaged with. So where does this become personal? See, I believe that Holy Spirit is alive and well and that he is active. And probably right now, even as you're talking, some of you are thinking about that neighbor. Some of you have a W. Some of you might have a snarky old lady that lives beside you. Some of you, if I asked your neighbors, you are the snarky old lady that lives beside them. Well, stop it if that's you, okay? Your neighbors are watching you, and how you love them and how you care for them. They, let me get in Matthew 5, it says, they will see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Or I might even be able to invert that and say they'll see your lack of good works and curse your Father in heaven. They are watching us. So as Holy Spirit is kind of, I hope he's saying something to you. I want you to bow your head just for a second. And I want to give Holy Spirit a little bit of time to ruminate in you. What would it look like this week? Not the week after, not last week. I don't care what's in the past. What would it look like this week for you to love at least one of your neighbors with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your mind and with all of your strength? I want you to think about a neighbor. You pick them. Let God even kind of bring their name to the surface within you. And you ask God, God, what would you have me do for them this week? And as you're thinking about that, I want to ask you to also think about what would your neighborhood look like in a year if you really began to do what God just told you now? How would it start to change? How would it start to shift? Why don't you go ahead and raise your head for a second? Why don't you look at the other people in the room? Let's say that you and everybody else in this room took whatever God just told you about your neighborhood and you did it, and we all did it this week. How would that begin to shape? How would that begin to shift what our community looks like? I probably, as I visit all of the churches, I hear a lot of complaint frequently about what's going on in our great country. And I'm going to tell you that the challenges that our great country faces is because the church has not been the neighbors that we have been called to be. Because if I'll love my neighbors, and you'll do yours, and you'll do yours, and you'll do yours, and we all begin to be Jesus to them, our neighborhoods will change, which will affect our counties, which will affect our state, which will affect our country, which will affect our world. So I can blame everybody else, but I got to look squarely at me and say, what am I going to do this week to show my neighbors what Jesus wants to love and care for them and recognize that they have something in them that I need to learn and to hear and to see and to experience. You know, if I do this church thing right, if I went with what we normally teach, my job would be to go to W's party and tell them all that they need to quit partying like that, and instead they need to come into our church. And y'all need to sit in one of these pews where we sing four songs, we take up an offering, we listen to somebody talk at you for 30 minutes, and we go home. Right? Is that what I'm supposed to ask him to trade? That life of interconnection, that life of togetherness? Church, I want to challenge you that if the world is going to be a part of what you're doing, it's going to need to be more than just for 1 hour on a Sunday morning. They want to know that you want them to be part of your life. They want to know that you want to engage with them. This might be difficult to hear, but the current culture that we live in is often not going to take their first steps with Jesus in the church building. You see, Jesus invited the first disciples to come follow him, do life with him. He didn't invite them to the temple. That's not where he invited them to go. See, the temple was important, but it's where the Jews came to worship. In our current culture, the church is where Christians come to worship. But your neighbors often aren't going to come to your church to worship your God if they are not welcome at your house or in your life. If you want youth and children to be here in the years to come, it's going to be because you've made a connection with the youth in your neighborhood or on your 2-mile section. Don't devalue yourselves. How many of you are familiar with Star Wars? You guys familiar with Star Wars? Do you know who the most beloved character is on Star Wars? He is beloved, but there's a most beloved. Yoda. Little Yoda. The most beloved character. Everybody loves Yoda. But Yoda's so old. He's like 900 and something, right? But Yoda is willing to take all of his knowledge and invest it in someone younger than him. He invests it in young Luke Skywalker. He invests in people that are younger. I'm telling you that because some of you have gray hair. Some of you have no hair, okay? There's a mix in here, and sometimes we just can dismiss that we're so old, nobody wants what we've got. And I'm telling you what, there is a neighborhood that is longing for what you have. And that when the Yodas in this community, when the Yodas in this church will begin to invest in the younger generation, sure, you're going to talk a little bit funny, you're going to walk a little bit funny, you're going to act a little bit funny. But they will see a sincerity in you that they long to be a part of if you will invite them. If you will invite them to be a part of your world. I want to challenge you to make a commitment to be the chaplain, the pastor, the spiritual guide to your neighborhood. That if I took a poll of the neighborhood and I said, who's the best neighbor that you have, that they would all say you. They are your responsibility. If you can name the faith community that's already caring for a neighbor, you might be able to cross them off your list, but otherwise, God sent you. We are a sent people in a dark world where darkness never overpowers the light that we have. Don't forget, in your neighborhood this week, God told you something that I'm guessing you're supposed to be doing this week. Do that. Be faithful. And we will see God do something great in our community. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love us. God, I thank you that you have a place where we can be challenged. Lord, I thank you for Holy Spirit, that he challenges us, that he speaks into our life, that he has even put neighbors in our midst that are waiting, longing, even if they don't think that they need to know you, that there's something about you that's drawing them in. And God, I pray that you would just speak into us, that we might represent you well, that we would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we would love our neighbors equally. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shall we stand?
Morning. Last council meeting, the board voted that starting next Sunday, if you come to church and you don't want to wear a mask while you're in the service, in the pew, that will be okay, but you sit on the left side, on the west side of the church, but you have to still continue to wear them when you enter, when you leave, and when you're socializing. But while you're sitting in the pew, you don't have to. Also, if you've noticed that it was up on the board this morning that the Easter offering will all go to the Libby Thulin family. We felt that the church finances were good enough that we could get along without one Sunday's offering, and that they're very much in need, so that would go that way. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Travis coming and sharing with us. We pray that each one would take to heart his message about W and the being the good neighbor. And a lot of times we forget that it isn't about talking about you to people, it's just living you in front of people. We ask, Father, now that you would be with us as we leave this service and guide and direct in each person's life and keep them safe. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.